San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, July 21st, 2019. Today's lesson is Freedom from the Known, delivered by Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm excited about today's lesson.
Alrighty.
There's one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty. One absolute, indestructible, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. If you want to know where that comes from, it's on the back of your program in our Declaration of Principles. And these principles are things that we think that we know. So let's start with that. We think that we know what these principles are. We think that we are embodying them, that we are living them. But today's lesson is freedom from the known. And if you look at the icon on your insert, you'll see it's a nice blue sky, but there's a white cage with a little white bird lifting up the lid and allowing all these birds to fly free. We don't want to be one of those little black birds that was caged, that could see all the stuff around but couldn't experience. We want to express our lives fully in the fullness of the universe. And this morning we'll have an opportunity to free ourselves and to liberate ourselves from what we think that we know, the things that we think that we know. Because as we all know, things are not always as they appear. I've told you before that I was taught never believe anything you read and only half of what you see. You need to do your own inner work, your own investigative work. Particularly with regard to fiction and nonfiction. Because in today's literary world, it looks like nonfiction and fiction are kind of overlapping and not always identified as what they are. But things are not always as they appear to be. We may think that we know the truth about something, but then we become surprised when we find out what it really is. Jiddu Krishnamurti was a great Indian mystic. He was a prolific author and a public speaker, and he wrote something like 40 books. He said, "Reality can be found only in understanding what is. And to understand what is, there must be freedom. Freedom from the fear of what is." Freedom from the fear of what is. So today, I'm going to allow you to release and let go and let spirit guide you and guide you in what you think you know and what you know. So we're going to get freedom from the known today. When we refrain from learning something, that means that we're not open to a new perspective on what we think we know. There are various forms of learning. One is instruction, where somebody tells you something, and you're supposed to take that as fact and truth. Another is dialogue, where two people who may have differing ideas build on each other's knowledge so that they both are learning through the process. You understand the difference? So dialogue, maybe you've got a Catholic and a Protestant. And the Catholic says something, and the Protestant goes, Let me think about that. Well, I understood it to be this. And the Catholic, rather than saying you're wrong, says, you know, I understand your perception. And here's how I see that fitting in with my baseline. And so the two sides can come to an understanding where they find out that what there is to know is greater than what they already had thought that they knew. There's more to it than what they thought they knew. So we can change our thinking and we can change our life. Does that sound familiar? It's more than just a soundbite. We truly, when we allow ourselves to let go of what we think we already know and allow ourselves to have new ideas, new thoughts, those will create new experiences. A new thought creates a new experience. And that's why that's a good reason why science of mind is considered a new thought philosophy. Because we have a new way of looking at things other than the traditional. We go beyond what is thought to be known to look deeper, to do more research, to find the mystical in the literal writings. It was through the inquiring minds of such luminaries as Phineas Parkhurst Quimby, Dr. Ernest Holmes, Charles Fillmore, Emma Curtis Hopkins, and others who realized that philosophy and religion can be understood and practiced with a new thought perspective. That's why our science of mind teaching is considered practical spirituality. I love that, practical spirituality. It's our awareness of the divine and how we allow that to play out in the practical world of our daily life. There's an ancient Chinese proverb that says, "Tell me once, I'll forget it. Show me, and maybe I'll remember. Include me and involve me, and I will understand." So I'm going to include and involve you this morning. If you're willing to liberate your mind and free your heart. Are you? Okay. So place your hand over your heart. I am ready.
I am ready.
To learn something new today.
To learn something new today.
I am open and receptive.
I am open and receptive.
To liberate my mind.
To liberate my mind.
And free my heart.
And free my heart.
I'm letting go of the old. And embracing the new.
And embracing the new.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. Simply breathe. Letting go of the old is sometimes scary. Embracing the new can be scary. But letting go of the fear of not knowing is very freeing. There's three things I want you to keep in mind as we go through today's lesson. And one of them is, everything you know may be wrong. Everything. Another one is, everything you know may be right. And the third is to allow yourself to be free of what you think you know and learn something new today. We can do that. Ernest Holmes is the founder of the religious science movement and the author of the Science Mind textbook. And he says that the universal mind contains all knowledge that you and I think into that one universal mind. He also says that knowledge alone can free mankind from an ignorant and self-imposed bondage. Self-imposed. Ignorant and self-imposed. Ignorant being unknowing, not stupid, but unknowing. So the trick to all of this is if you can get to the point of not allowing your knowledge to hold you back, then you will learn so much more than you can imagine. If you get to the point of not allowing your knowledge to hold you back, you'll learn so much more than you can imagine. How many times have we met people or even experienced ourselves, somebody that is the self-proclaimed expert on something, spouting off all of their information, and we're sitting there going, what are they talking about? That's not true. But it's what they know. It's this knowledge that they are trying to share with everybody else. Now, this fall, we'll be offering a series of classes in practical spirituality. So be sure to keep your eye on our calendars, as we have some really good ones lined up. Now, every Sunday morning when you come here, you obtain spiritual information, and we talk about spiritual concepts. Spiritual concepts that are in formation. So you are informed. The wisdom is formed within you. It's been said that information is knowledge and wisdom is knowing what to do with it. In the textbook, Ernest Holmes asks this question, how shall I know when I know? It's on page 278. He says, each one should realize that there is nothing in him which denies what he desires. Our unity with good is not established while there is anything in us which denies it. People often say, how shall I know when I know? The very fact that one can ask this proves that he does not know. For when he knows that he knows, he can prove his knowing by doing. When he knows that he knows, he can prove this knowing by doing. So the information is the knowledge, and the wisdom is knowing what to do with it. So when we know that we know, then we have embodied that wisdom, and it moves through us, and it is a part of the way that we interact with the world. So let's take a closer look at the spiritual concept of this morning's lesson, freedom from the known. There was a famous quote, very famous. It was on the news reports, it was in the newspapers, it was everywhere. And the beauty of this quote was that all of the people who were making fun of it had no idea what it meant. It came out of a government briefing in February of 2002. And the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, said, reports that say something hasn't happened are always interesting to me because, as we know, there are known knowns. There are things that we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know that there are some things we do not know. But there are also unknown unknowns, the ones we don't know we don't know. And if one looks throughout the history of our country and other free countries, it is the latter category that tends to be the difficult ones. It's easier to follow sometimes when it's written down, but basically the unknown unknowns seem to be the biggest issue in any category, no matter what that issue is, no matter what it is. The unknown unknowns. I can know enough to know that I don't know everything about what's in front of me. But I don't know enough to know what is beyond that. that is unknown to me. The universe is the vast unknown unknown. We know what we know. We know that there are unknowns for us. And beyond that, the finite mind cannot grasp the infinite. Therefore, there have to be unknown unknowns for us. But all that means is we have the opportunity to learn more and to appreciate that perhaps we will never know everything. You know, it'd be an awful lot to contain in one brain, in one mind. But there is the one mind of the divine that knows everything. And we get to think into that and obtain information and knowledge from that one mind. There was an American humorist, Josh Billings, and he said something that's very cute. So I have two different versions of it. The first one he said, and this is like, I think in the 30s. He said, "The trouble ain't what people don't know. It's what they know that ain't so." He also said, "It ain't ignorance causes so much trouble. It's folks knowing so much that ain't so." And if you think about all of the stories, all of the old wives' tales, all of the different things that we have learned, been raised with, that when we get older, we say, gee, everybody always told me that was true. It doesn't seem to be true here now that I'm doing my own research. But people who didn't know were trying to explain or make real some concept that they didn't understand. So they came up with their simple answer. Like the evil eye. Is there really an evil eye? Is there really a demon lurking in newborn babies that have a difficult birth? No, there's not. But in order to try and explain something out of the normal, this is what people thought. And there's all kinds of stories on pregnancies and symptoms and how you carry the child and all these different things to indicate you're going to have a girl or you're going to have a boy. And there are a lot of stories and practices about how you can go about conceiving in order to have a girl or in order to have a boy. And they're probably all 50% right and 50% wrong. Everybody told me my first child was going to be a boy because of the way I carried that child. Just from behind, you couldn't even tell I was pregnant. From the front, it looked like I had a beach ball under my shirt. She was supposed to be a boy because of the way I carried her. Then my son, when I carried him, I just bloated up everywhere. You just thought somebody put an air hose inside me and just pumped me all up. That meant he was going to be a girl. But he wasn't a girl. He was a boy. So in my case, both of them were 50% wrong, unless she changed the timing. And you say, oh, but she did have a girl. She did have a boy. Just not according to the outer image. So, was everything that we knew wrong? Or was everything that we knew right? And was timing the factor? Freedom from the known. What I knew was there was something inside me growing, kicking, punching, dancing. When I was pregnant with my son, Saturday Night Live was, at least it was already out because it felt to me like he was doing that Saturday Night Live dance with kicking his foot out and pointing his finger up at the same time. Kid was moving everywhere, all over. So the trouble ain't what people don't know. It's what they know that ain't so. And when we know that there are things that we don't know, sometimes we can worry. We can be fearful. Well, what's going to happen? What would happen if? What would happen if? What if this happens or that doesn't happen? In the Bible, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, it's written, "Can you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life?" Can you, by worrying, add to your lifetime? No. No. It disturbs your peace of mind. You wind up spinning your mental wheels until you get agitated physically. And then you, if you're like me, you get a headache and a stomach ache. Because when I get agitated, it disturbs my inner balance. Which is why I don't like to be agitated. But all these things will happen. And then you will spend all this time not being present, not living, not appreciating what you know. Because you are guessing based on what you know. You're guessing about what is the worst that could happen. It's called disasterizing. And that keeps us from living a full life. I want to tell you something about Benjamin Franklin. I have a quote here from the time that they were getting ready and debating the federal constitution in Congress, in the conferences. They were talking about what was in the constitution. Was it good enough? Should they sign it? What all could go wrong? What didn't it cover? All these different things. Was it true? And what he says in here, I want to give you a little advance notice. I want to tell you, there is no such thing as my truth, your truth, our truth, their truth. That's not how truth works. There is one divine truth. Okay? So here's what Benjamin Franklin said. "It is therefore that the older I grow, the more apt I am to doubt my own judgment of others. Most men indeed, as well as most sects in religion, think themselves in possession of all truth, and that wherever others differ from them, it is so far error. On the whole, sir, I cannot help expressing a wish that every member of the convention who may still have objections to this Constitution would, with me on this occasion, doubt a little of his own infallibility, and, to make manifest our unanimity, put his name to this instrument." He's saying, to show our unity, to show that we are standing together, that this is the best we can imagine. Stop thinking you know everything. Work together. Sign the document. The document, the Constitution, had provisions for amendments. In fact, the First Amendment was to include the Bill of Rights as the first 10 amendments. So he's saying, don't get all caught up in your truth and your truth and your truth. Even I, as an older man, am seeing that maybe I'm not infallible. Maybe I'm judging people incorrectly. Maybe the good people are bad and the bad people are good. So let's go with the one truth. Now, we didn't know everything when we were a new nation. We didn't know everything regarding our new Constitution. We had the known unknowns, and we had the unknown unknowns. There was no way the Founding Fathers could have foreseen how we are today. They would never have foreseen Comic-Con. If they saw Comic-Con, I'm sure they would have thought they were in some demonic nightmare. But we as a nation and our representatives, we did it anyway. We had this new nation, we had this new constitution, and we did it to the best of our knowledge using what wisdom we had. And for that, we can be thankful. Because in that wisdom, we came up with freedom of religion and freedom of speech, which means I get to stand here and share. When we don't know something, it's often more comfortable than knowing. If not knowing can be more comfortable than knowing. When that happens, it takes away all responsibility from the person who just doesn't want to know too much. In corporate espionage, they call that plausible deniability. They also do that in politics, plausible deniability. I want this to occur. You want me to tell you how that's going to happen? Nope. Just give me the end result. Give me the competing company's super secret formula so that we can make what they're making. But the less we know, the less we are responsible for in our life. And the less we're responsible for in our lives, the more we are isolated, the more imprisoned we are with our own ignorance, and that is not blissful at all. Krishnamurti says that we must be our own teacher and our own disciple. He says we're conditioned to think and act as we do through the conditioning of our race, religion, and culture, which brings a sense of imprisonment. Conditioning is a form of domestication, and we can become imprisoned by old concepts and old patterns that are handed down from generation to generation. On and on and on. This fall, San Diego Center for Spiritual Living will be presenting the Four Agreements class. And in that class, we'll be discussing the domestication process, which is a form of conditioning and how we make agreements within ourselves based on how we're raised. What have we conditioned ourselves to be and do and say based on how we were raised? Some of it's scary. Some of it's very freeing. Krishnamurti says, if you are satisfied with your condition, if you are satisfied with your domestication, you will do nothing about it. I mean, why should you? You're in your comfort zone. But that, he says, is living in the past, which is a form of imprisonment. We have imprisoned ourselves to living in the constraints of our known. We've locked ourselves in that little cage, that little bird cage, where we can see outside, but we cannot interact with it. And therefore, we focus everything on this cage that we have placed ourselves in. If you live your life based on memory alone, you are living in a prison of mental bondage. In other words, if you are stuck in the past, if you're living your life based only on what you know or have known, you are not free. You are not free. Krishnamurti says, a mind which is not crippled by memory has real freedom. A mind which is not crippled by memory has real freedom. Now, there's an extreme example of that, which would be amnesia. There are people who have had some injury or trauma in their lives that causes them to not have access to a category of memories. Usually that has to do with who they are, their name, the people they know, these different things. They don't have the memory to recognize the life that they find themselves waking up to. I saw a quote when I was reading about amnesia, and it was, the heart remembers. The mind may not remember. The brain may not be able to access memories, but the heart remembers. And that's what we get in this teaching. Our heart is remembering that which is true. So when we hear these principles, when we start practicing these principles, many people find that there is something that it strikes a chord in their heart where they go, yeah, this rings true to me. This feels right to me. This feels like a part of me. And it does that because it's our soul remembering, our heart remembering. If we're going to be fully and spiritually liberated, we must free ourselves from any past mistakes, past injustices, or memories that keep us from living in the now. No grudge holding, no getting even. What was it? There was a quote, my sister said it, and I'm trying to remember what it is because it just passed through me. Somebody would say or do something, and then they'd say, don't get mad, Kathy. And she'd say, I don't get mad. I get even. So we don't need to hang on to the things that we think we need to get even for because we don't need to get even. Our peace of mind is only impacted by what we think in our minds. I mentioned last week, nobody can offend us. We can only take offense. And when we take offense, we are shutting ourselves off from being open to loving relationships. So we want to let go of all of those things that hold us back, that cut us off, that narrow the path to openness and love. I'd like to close today's lesson, Freedom from the Known, with the wisdom of Ernest Holmes. Now, this is a bit long, and it's called I Am Not Bound. It's on pages 561 and 562. Are you ready? I am not bound by any mistake. Let us now let go of everything and enter into the consciousness of that which we believe. The spirit within each one of us is God, and it is perfect. It is love, reason, life, truth, and beauty. It is limitless and perfect and complete and whole. It knows no lack and no limitation. There is nothing we have done, said, or thought which rises up against us, which has power over us, or which limits us. There is no memory of fear, no condemnation for previous mistakes. With the desire to free ourselves from the further indulgence in the mistake, The effect of the previous mistake is wiped out just as light dissipates the darkness. The universe holds nothing against us. It can hold nothing against us because it can know nothing unlike itself. Therefore, it only knows us as perfection. There has never been an occurrence for which we have to suffer. Consequently, every apparent shortcoming, which could be traced to some mental or spiritual infringement of the law, is not only removed, but the effect is healed. He goes on to say, that means there is no history to our case. All of its history is this minute wiped out in the knowledge that today the perfect law, the law of freedom, is the only law there is in our experience. We enter into that freedom with joy, free from every sense of sadness and burden. We enter into it with laughter, with lightness. It is something which lifts us above the heaviness of morbidity and lack and limitation, into that rarer atmosphere where our opinions do not collide, and we enter into it with peace, free from fear. Finally, he says, we know that infinite wholeness is in us and through us and around us now, and we are conscious that we are renewed this moment, instantly and perfectly, after the image of perfection. We are today guided into right action in every exercise of our affairs. Since there is no great and no small to the infinite, all that seems of little consequence in our lives has the divine guidance just as perfectly and completely as that which we think of as being tremendously important. We are guided into the knowledge of happiness, of certainty, of wholeness, and of freedom. And we know that there is that subtle essence of the Spirit which emanates from us at all time, healing everything it contacts. I am not bound by any mistake. So let's remember that true freedom and liberation begins with a new thought and a new perspective on life. You're not bound by any past mistake, and no person, place, situation, or condition can withhold your good from you. So I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.